Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so today's episode might seem a little different. Like, why are we talking about renewal and rest and what it means to take time off? And I think it's because actually, when teachers rest, students win. And when teachers rest and find renewal, it actually sparks better creativity in teachers and in students. I truly believe that teacher self-care is student care. Teacher care is student care. And I use the word teacher care rather than self-care because when we talk about self-care, it centers it on the self, the individual. But I actually think that we need systems and structures that support teachers so that they can have true self-care, so that it can really take care of themselves. And I want to point this out, that this is something I re-record this podcast every single year, and I highly revise it every year. But if you're like, man, I feel like John talked about this last year, I did. I talked about it last year, and I talked about it the year before. And the truth is, this is based on a podcast, not a podcast even, a blog post that I wrote, and it was a 400-word reminder to myself that I wrote 15 years ago. And it was a reminder to myself to choose rest rather than working over winter break. And if you're choosing to work, that's fine. It's your own decision. But I just want to share kind of a different perspective a little bit. And I want to point out that right now we're seeing huge issues for teachers in terms of sub shortages, challenging behaviors, political battles at the school board level, all of that kind of stuff. And we really do need to shift systems and structures that fail to support teachers' ability to take time off. You should have that ability to take time off. And so if it feels like I'm talking about this from the lens of like, these are all things you have to do, I want to be very clear. I've talked about this before in the podcast that I did called Ask the Teachers. We really need system changes and structural changes to allow teachers to have the rest that they need. I also want to point out that principals and other leaders have faced similar challenges. On a personal note, my mother-in-law had a heart attack last month, and she nearly died. She was, thankfully, she was able to get in to have surgery. But and I'm so fortunate to the medical professionals who saved her life. But I also feel angry at the system that caused so much stress in her life. She was working 16-hour days, and she was facing constant stress. Huge challenges from angry parents to irate community members, some of them, you know, accusing her of promoting critical race theory, which was just not the case. Angry about masks, all that kind of stuff. She's facing, you know, having to fix the sub shortage and the staffing issues and all of these things that were often outside of her control. And also dealing with big, huge discipline issues and a rise in theft on campus and all of these things that were happening. In fact, she had symptoms of a heart attack for 8 hours and didn't know she was having a heart attack. And I get that there are other factors that play into it, but I do think stress is a huge deal. So for me, this is deeply, deeply personal. It's something I care about a lot. So I want to start out by sharing my epic mistake. It was the first winter break in my first year of teaching. Now, I scratched out Christmas Eve and Christmas as my days off, but then I worked the rest of the time. I read 2 books about teaching. I took a giant box full of papers to grade. I planned out my first 3 weeks of lesson plans. Don't get me wrong. I did this leisurely between cups of coffee and more cups of coffee and more cups of coffee. And to be honest, I enjoyed it. I was loving it. Now, I felt a little bit guilty about not finishing all the grading, which is ridiculous because I did so much. But when I started back, I was ready to roll. I had used my time productively. But then something happened, and in late January, I felt restless and tired. I yearned for a break, not from the classroom, but from the daydreaming of projects and the incessant lesson planning in my own head. I wanted to watch a movie or read a novel or hang out with my friends. I wanted to go on some dates with my wife and just hang out. I needed to be unproductive. So months later, when I sputtered into spring break, I treated it like a break, a real break, a totally unproductive break. I gave myself permission to avoid grading. I avoided professional books and blogs. I didn't feel an ounce of guilt from the people who complained that, quote, teachers have it easy, not true, or who would say, must be nice to have all that time off. Must be great to have that vacation. Call it comp time from the amount of time and effort we put in during the days of the week. The truth is, teaching is exhausting and we need breaks. Teachers have faced huge challenges lately during this quarantine. And I remember at the beginning of the year thinking like, oh man, this is a return to normal. This is gonna feel like normal again. But so many teachers have faced significantly new challenges that any sense of normalcy that they thought they would have at the beginning of the year is just not there. They've seen a spike in misbehavior, and it's been everything from fights and violence to the smaller issues of indifference and apathy. One of the pre-service teachers I worked with put it this way, I feel like I'm teaching to a wall sometimes. I'm putting everything into it, and it's so tiring right now. It's been really, really hard. Meanwhile, we've all experienced some level of trauma. Many teachers have lost loved ones from COVID-19, or they faced huge financial hardships. And now there's this new Omicron, whatever you call it, version of COVID. And it feels like the coronavirus is like one of those, you know, monsters at the end of a video game where you keep thinking you're going to defeat it and defeat it and defeat it, and it just comes back stronger and stronger and stronger. And we are feeling it right now. The reality is, it feels draining, and you probably feel exhausted. For many teachers, they felt the May tired, or maybe the December tired back in, you know, September. Some of them as early as August. And they've been asking, how am I going to make it through this year? Sometimes it's more than simply exhaustion. There's this perfectionism in teaching that can lead to unhealthy striving and a lack of contentment. I've written before about this idea of breaking up with busy and letting go of perfectionism. Redefining success as being about faithfulness rather than results. And recognizing that showing up automatically makes you good at your job. It's not the end result of student outcomes. So I think it's really important as we step into this winter break that we embrace this idea of rest. People say that teaching is a marathon, and I think they're right. But even when you finish a marathon and you cross the finish line and you receive that medal and you're super proud of what you've accomplished, you still find yourself collapsing to the ground in exhaustion. For me, that was what winter break was. I sprinted to the finish. I was done. I think it's important that we recognize that being a great teacher doesn't have to mean sacrificing your personal life. And it doesn't have to mean working extra. And that actually doesn't make you a better teacher. It just makes you more tired. You don't have to be a martyr to be a good teacher, because martyrs aren't any good to kids. Students need teachers who are energetic, who are patient. But this requires rest and restoration. Moreover, students need teachers who are passionate, about the content they're teaching, which is a positive thing when teachers spend a good part of the winter geeking out on things they love. Teaching is an exhausting gig, so it's okay to just take some time off and rest. Binge watch The Great British Baking Show or The Great British Bake Off or whichever term you want to use wherever you live. Go watch Ted Lasso. Kick the soccer ball around with your daughter. Go hiking. You have poured your heart and soul into this gig and you shouldn't feel guilty about resting. It's what your students need. So that's the first big idea, is that we need to embrace rest. And when we do, we're actually more productive and more creative. I love this quote from Thomas Opong, who wrote, "According to research, the brain gradually stops registering a sight, sound, or feeling if that stimulus remains constant over time. You lose your focus and your performance on the task declines. When faced with a long creative problem, it is best to take brief breaks on yourself. Brief mental breaks will actually help you stay focused on your task and improve idea generation approach. A structured downtime can help you do your best work. We tend to generate redundant ideas when we don't take regular breaks." Now that's during the day, right? But the truth is, they found that people who exercise, people who go on long walks, and yes, people who take sabbaticals, people who take a week off, 2 weeks off, they often have big, critical, creative breakthroughs during those times off. And often it'll actually occur right when they come back to work, because your brain continues to be active even when you're not consciously aware. More than that, it's just this idea that we need to recharge. I love this quote from Anne Lamott, who says, "Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you." So what does this mean? What does this look like? Well, I talked to some of my friends years ago. I did, brought them into this blog post when I wrote it, and I just interviewed my favorite teachers who really did a great job with embracing rest and renewal. And so together we came up with these seven different ideas. Here they are. Take some time for reflection. There's nothing wrong with reflecting. It could be in the car, it could be in the morning, it could be journaling, it could be during yoga and mindfulness. You could do 30 things that you're doing well, or ask yourself, where am I crushing it this year? And just making a set of notes that you go through. It could be that you take the time to go through that box of letters or that binder that you have of student letters where they thanked you for things that you did as a teacher, and go back to that and remind yourself why you care about teaching. Strategy number two is take nothing home. Ditch the grading, avoid the lesson planning. And tell yourself, don't take anything home. I love having a small notepad so that when you have great ideas that you want to pursue, you can write it down on a notepad or put it on a sticky note if you want, or put it on a note card and put the note cards inside of like a jar or a container. And then you let go of it. Oh, I have a cool project idea of something I want to do with my students. Fine, write it down, pop it in. Let go of it. Number three, find inspiration from other domains. Read a book, go hiking, take a socially distanced day trip if you are still feeling worried about COVID. Spend some time doing what you love. Do some art if that's what you're into. Read a book, geek out on things, learn something new, because when you learn something new, when you engage in creative work, that's your chance to grow. And that will apply into the classroom setting. Number four, and I've already alluded to it, keep a brainstorming space. You're going to come up with new ideas and great plans and things that you want to do. Just jot it down. Keep a to-do list that's separate that you can close and not work on. Number five, and it kind of fits with this idea of inspiration from other domain, but it's do something creative. Paint, draw, I don't know, make friendship bracelets if you want to relive what it was like to be 13 years old again. But But there's power in doing something truly creative. I'm super excited about this, but I'm gonna paint again. I haven't painted in a while, and I miss that. I might work on, like, we're turning the garage. We're slowly turning it into like a space where it's a gym, and I might do that. Assemble the new weight bench and put gym flooring in and whatever. I'm super stoked about it. Number six, spend time with people you love. This is obvious, but people are restorative. Hang out with people and don't talk shop if they're fellow teachers, and just be with people. Talk about your favorite TV shows or movies or books or whatever it may be. And on a small level, and I know I'm going to get pushback for this, but I truly believe not only would I say spend time with people that you love, but also avoid, if possible, take a 1 or 2 week sabbatical break, whatever you want to call it, from the news and from the hype and from the negativity, and just tell yourself, I'm gonna be reminded of who I love, who I care about, what I believe, whatever that might be. Number seven is something that came up a lot with the people that I talked to. Practice mindfulness and meditation. Now, this could be prayer for some people. It could be meditation. It could be yoga. Mindfulness, it could be a journal. But spend some time alone engaging in that state of mindfulness. Now, I want to point out that none of these are recipes or requirements. They're just ideas to experiment with. And they're more reminders of things that you probably already know. But the bottom line is, I think we can be really intentional and strategic about using this time wisely and getting the most out of the upcoming winter break. Hey, would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcasts? Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Have a great end of the year. And on this time off, go out and make something awesome.